have sailed. I have moved about this world of ours, and ever in search of the finest of its kind, we bring you the tops in Spine Chillers.
And you are listening to Radio Masterpieces on Valley 103.1, serving Duval, Carnation, and Redmond Ridge.
Well, Ethel, you've done some great Decca records with Ray Bolger. I heard some of them on the radio. I thought we could maybe do one of those songs, you know, like there's a thing you did with him called Deary, or If I Knew You Were Coming, I'd Have Baked a Cake. How about that?
Oh, okay. No, let's do Deary. Huh?
Deary? Fine. We'll give the folks a little memory lesson here and see how far they go back.
Deary.
Oh, Deary.
Deary, do you remember when we waltzed to the Sousa band? My, wasn't the music grand? Chowder parties down by the seashore. Every 4th of July, test your memory, my dearie.
Let me hear from you.
Do you recall when Henry Ford couldn't even fix a running board under a Chandler 6? Dearie,
I drove an Essex.
Life
myself.
Was cheery in the good old days gone by. Do you remember?
Ah, yes.
Well, if you remember,
I remember.
Then, dearie, you're much older than I.
What kind of a switch is this? All right. Wait a minute, I'm warming up. Deary. Oh, dearie. Don Amici gets better cues than that. Go ahead. Same thing. Ah, dearie, do you remember when most gents owned a pair of spats, winged collar and derby hats? Lovely ladies swinging their bustles made those gentlemen sigh. Test your memory, my dearie.
I'm testing.
Do you remember watching John L. win every fight? 'Cause nobody ducked from Sullivan's right. Dearie, life was cheery in those good old days gone by. Do you remember?
Of course I do.
If you remember.
How do you think I am?
Well, dearie, you're much older than I.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
Well, we'll see.
Come in, let me hear from you.
Dearie, do you remember when we sat up all night together?
Oh, yes, Pittsburgh on the crystal sets. Keystone movies, we got Coogan and Chaplin.
They made you laugh and then cry. Test your memory, my dearie.
I'm racking my brain.
Do you recall when Gilda Gray did the shimmy shake
that started the San Francisco quake?
You mean fire, dearie. Life was cheery
in those good old days gone by.
Do you remember?
Yes, I remember.
Dearie, do you remember how they loved Harry Lauderdale?
Yes, my, wasn't the palace pet.
Jenny Lind, presented by Barnum.
She sang her sweet lullabies. Test your memory, my dearie.
Chicago all in flames.
Well, it sure caused a terrific row.
And they blamed it on Mrs. O'Leary's cow.
Well, life was cheery
in the good old days gone by. La, da, da, da.
Remember?
Oh, yes.
Well, if you remember,
Jenna, dear,
then, dearie, you're much older than I.
This is Bruce Kaplan welcoming you tonight to a wonderful episode of Radio Masterpieces. Hope you're all having a fantastic weekend and a wonderful Christmas holiday time. We just listened to the great Bing Crosby and the wonderful Ethel Merman in their 1950 rendition of the comical song Dearie, the very nostalgic tune. Well, we're going to really swing back the clock today to listen first to a comical episode of Our Miss Brooks, but it does have crime in it. And then for Comedy Crime Time, we're going to listen to a wonderful episode of George Burns and Gracie Allen. And at the end of the program, you can stay tuned and play a little bit of trivia. And the first person that can write to me with the answer of who the person is, the voice on the radio, the mysterious voice, we will give you a $50 restaurant coupon. So we're going to play a little bit of trivia today. Remember, just write to Bruce at RadioMasterpieces.com and give me your answer. And I really hope that I get a lot of players and should be a lot of fun. It's going to be a difficult voice, I think, but I know that some of the trivia buffs out there will be able to answer it. Just again, have a wonderful holiday season. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm sure you'll enjoy the great comedy shows.
It's time once again for another comedy episode of Our Miss Brooks. Well, most school teachers are accustomed to early rising. But last Friday morning, Our Miss Brooks, who teaches English at Madison High School, was awakened a little too early by her landlady, Mrs. Davis.
Connie! Oh, Connie, I've got something to tell you. Are you up?
I am now, Mrs. Davis. Is it 7 o'clock?
No, dear, it's only 5 o'clock.
I hope you didn't wake me up to tell me I've got 2 more hours to sleep.
Oh, certainly not. I thought I heard a noise in the kitchen.
Oh? What sort of a noise?
Well, first I heard something that sounded like footsteps in the backyard. And then there was a sound of a pane of glass breaking. Then the window slid up. Then there were some more footsteps in the kitchen. And then there was a sound of the refrigerator being opened.
Did you go into the kitchen to investigate?
No, I figured it was only the cat.
Minerva? Well, she wouldn't go to the refrigerator. She likes her milk warm. It's probably just your imagination, Mrs. Davis. Now, let's go back to sleep, huh?
But, Connie, as I think back, those footsteps were pretty heavy for a cat.
Please, Mrs. Davis, if you're trying to frighten me into thinking there's someone in this house, you've succeeded. Hand me my robe, please, the one on the chair with the extra heavy tassels on the belt.
Oh, here you are, Connie. I'll go put my slippers on and join you in the kitchen.
All right. Well, this hallway is nice and dark. Why do they always have to put the switch on the opposite end from where you are? I'll just feel my way along the wall and... Oops! Who's that? All right, don't move now. Who are you and what are you doing in this house?
I'm looking for my slippers, Connie. Maybe they're under my bed. I'll go see.
Oh, sorry, Mrs. Davis. I've got my bearings now. Here's the kitchen door.
Ooh! I beg your pardon. I didn't mean to startle you with the flashlight. It's just a tool of the trade.
If you're looking for the gas meter, it's outside.
I'm not looking for the gas meter. Anybody else living here besides yourself?
My landlady, Mrs. Davis. But this seems like a strange time to be taking the census.
I'm not taking the census either, Miss...
Brooks. Connie Brooks.
How do you do? My name's Joe Phillips.
Oh. Happy to shake your flashlight, Mr. Phillips. If you're looking for money, I can save us both a lot of time. I'm a school teacher.
Oh, no. I wasn't looking after money. I just broke in to raid your icebox. Of course, if I'd have known you were a school teacher, I'd have brought you a sandwich.
But I don't understand. If you're just after food, why didn't you go to a restaurant?
I got a dandy answer for that one. They charge. You see, I've been out of work for several weeks now, and since I was a kid, I've always been led to believe that starvation is a very unsatisfactory career. So when I'm hungry, I just take a chance and drop into various kitchens.
I never heard of such a thing. Sit down at that table for a minute. I've got to hear some more about this.
Yeah, but you caught me red-handed. Aren't you going to call the police?
The police? We're lucky if there's enough in that icebox for you and me. Of course, we just had leftovers for dinner last night, but you're welcome to some leftover leftovers.
Well, to tell you the truth, I wasn't thinking about dinner. What I had in mind was breakfast.
Oh, I'm sorry. I lost my head. I'll just step out on the back porch and get the milk.
I brought it in with me.
That was very thoughtful.
Did you look around, Connie? Is everything all right?
So far, so good, Mrs. Davis. This is Mr. Phillips. He's a burglar.
Oh. How do you do, Mr. Phillips? Have you been here long?
Not very, Mrs. Davis. Why?
Because I thought I heard someone moving around in here before. Did you notice anybody?
Just a little cat out in the back porch.
Oh, that's Minerva, but it couldn't have been Minerva because he's a burglar.
Yes. He claims he's just after our vitamins, Mrs. Davis. He doesn't seem very violent, so I thought I'd give him a bite to eat and get the rest of his story.
Well, for heaven's sake, I'll put on some coffee.
Thanks, Mrs. Davis. Could I trouble you for the address here, please?
The address? Why do you want that?
Yeah, seems to me you found the place all right without the address.
Well, I like to jot it down on my little black book. You see, I keep a record of every kitchen I've visited. And as soon as I can afford it, I'm going to pay back everyone who's contributed to my nourishment. Yes, ma'am, I'm going to throw the biggest party you ever saw.
Dinner party, huh? How many on your guest list so far?
About 150 couples.
With all those people, you'll have to break into a pretty big restaurant.
Oh, that's one shindig I'm going to pay for. I realize I'll have to find a pretty good job before I can do that, but I really intend to make the effort.
Well, good for you, Joe.
I must admit that in the past, steady work has always seemed quite repellent to me, but, well, it's the only way to get even, I guess.
Here's some cereal, Mr. Phillips. The coffee will be ready in a minute.
Thank you.
Tell me, Mr. Phillips, in your little food raiding expedition, have you ever been caught before tonight?
No, ma'am, but I was almost caught last night. And the setup looked so lovely. It was about 7:30 in the evening. Here was this man fast asleep on a couch. Here was this big bowl of fried chicken on a table behind him. And here was this open window right near it. But just as I reached in to grab it, he woke up. You never heard such a bellowing in your life. Chased me 15 blocks before I finally shook him.
Well, that's one way to work up an appetite.
Chicken wasn't worth it. Things fried in deep fat murder me.
Well, look, Mr. Phillips, if you're serious about wanting to pay back your food debts, I may be able to help you. Our school custodian has been sick for a few days, and I might be able to get you a job filling in for him.
Please, not while I'm eating.
Here's your coffee, folks. While we're on the subject of eating, Connie, I've been invited over to my sister Angela's for dinner. I'd like to ask you along, but Angela hasn't been very well lately, and
I wouldn't think of bothering Angela, Mrs. Davis. Don't worry about me. I'll have a nice dinner in the drugstore.
Oh, don't do that, Miss Brooks. If you're short of funds, why not have dinner with me?
Thanks just the same, Mr. Phillips, but I hate to eat and run. Well, after breakfast, Mr. Phillips helped with the dishes, those he didn't swallow. And we arrived at school several minutes before my first class. You are now in the hallowed halls of Madison High, Mr. Phillips. On your right is the office of our beloved principal, Osgood Conklin, known to the faculty as the Lion's Den.
Good morning, Miss Brooks.
And directly in front of you is the Lion's Cub, Harriet. Miss Conklin, meet Mr. Phillips.
Hello, Miss Conklin.
How do you do, Mr. Phillips?
Just call me Joe.
All right. Then you just call me Harriet.
Okay, Harriet.
Now that we're all engaged. I'd like to ask you something, Harriet. Has the custodian returned to work yet?
No, Miss Brooks, he hasn't. As a matter of fact, Daddy has asked me to see that the things that need fixing around here get fixed. At least until he can get somebody to take Mr. Jensen's place.
Oh, then we're just in time. You wait right here, Mr. Phillips. I'll arrange an interview with Mr. Conklin.
Oh, okay, Miss Brooks.
Come in.
It's me, Mr. Conklin. There's something I'd like to talk to you about.
Very well, Miss Brooks, but first there's something I'd like to discuss with you. It seems the salary checks have been held up this month, and, well, this is a very embarrassing statement for me to make, but I'm short of funds.
If you think that's an embarrassing statement, wait till you put your next question. I'm flat broke myself.
Oh, I wasn't thinking in terms of borrowing money, Miss Brooks.
Oh.
But as I recall, my daughter Harriet brought you home to dinner one night last week. Now, my wife left town yesterday to visit her mother, and while I don't feel that you owe me a dinner, well, I am one up on you.
And after tonight, you'll still be one up on me. You see, Mr. Conklin, Mrs. Davis is visiting her sister tonight, and I'm going to eat in the drugstore. But about this matter of a new custodian, Mr. Conklin, I'd like
Maybe
to tell you about...
Maybe the grocer would extend my credit and
Please,
Harriet...
Please, sir, I didn't finish talking.
What? Oh. I'm sorry, Miss Brooks. You'll have to forgive my preoccupation with the inner man, but I haven't had a square meal in 2 days. Last night, Martha left some delicious fried chicken for me on a table, and somebody made off with it.
Well, that's too bad, sir, but... Oh, no. Did you get a good look at the man?
Well, it's pretty dark, and I... How did you know it was a man?
Well, if he was reaching through the window, why, it must
How did you know that he reached through the window?
Well, it's only natural. If you were napping on the couch, there was no other...
How did you know I was napping?
I didn't. Don't you always take a nap before your evening meal?
Miss Brooks, did you steal my dinner?
How can you say such a thing?
Oh, well, I'm sorry, Miss Brooks. I was quite upset by the incident. I'm almost certain it was a man. I chased that thief for blocks.
Well, that's one thing about the man I'd like to recommend for the custodian's job, Mr. Conklin. He's as honest as the day is long.
What? You have someone to replace Mr. Jensen?
Yes.
Well, why didn't you say so? Well, don't stand there. Where is he?
He's right outside. I'll call him. Come on in, Mr. Phillips. Mr. Conklin will see you now.
Thanks.
This is Joe Phillips, Mr. Conklin.
So how do you do? Say, haven't I seen you someplace before?
I was about to mention that same thing.
Oh, no, I'm sure you two haven't met. Although Mr. Phillips does get around to some of our better homes.
Oh. Well, probably just a coincidence. Now then, Phillips, I understand you'd like to fill in here as our temporary custodian.
Yes, sir.
Are you a handyman with tools?
You ought to see him with a knife and fork.
I'm very handy, Mr. Conklin, and hours don't mean anything to me either.
You said it.
If I can just take a crack at this job, I know you'll be pleased.
Very well. Here are the keys to the custodian's office. Now help yourself to a pair of overalls and report back to me. You've got yourself a job.
But, Mr. Conklin, don't you want to ask me any questions about my background or anything?
If there's one thing I have, it's an ability to judge character. Now go, my boy, and good luck to you.
Thank you, Mr. Conklin. And you too, Miss Brooks. You won't be sorry.
Oh, I'm sure I won't be sorry. I can tell by looking at that fellow that he's not only competent, but honest and loyal. Now, reach over to my desk and hand me the pen on it. I've got to send a memo to the board about our new custodian.
Yes, sir. Oh, there's no pen on the desk, Mr. Conklin.
Oh, there must be. I put it there myself, alongside of my watch.
Watch?
Now, don't tell me that's gone, too.
Are you sure you put your watch on the desk, Mr. Conklin?
Positive. When I came in this morning, I took it out of the little pocket in my trousers.
Trousers?
Yes. Trousers? And stop turning your face away. It's common courtesy to look at the person you're addressing.
Frankly, Mr. Conklin, I'm afraid to look. In spite of the circumstances under which we had met, I was determined to give Joe Phillips a chance. By lunch period, I felt confident that he was taking advantage of his chance, because 4 desks, 2 sewing machines, and a typewriter were reported missing. I didn't completely lose faith in his honesty, but it was ebbing pretty rapidly. However, when I dropped into the biology laboratory to meet Mr. Boynton for lunch, I temporarily shelved our temporary custodian. Hi, Mr. Boynton. Ready to go to lunch?
Oh, I'm not going to the cafeteria today, Miss Brooks. I brought a box lunch with me. Since our salary checks were delayed this week, I'm a little short.
I've attained full midgethood myself. I'm joking, of course. I have enough money for a light lunch if you don't weigh it.
Look, Miss Brooks, we've been friends a long time. I brought a very large lunchbox down today. I insist you share it with me.
All right, you get in first. I mean, you're very kind, Mr. Boynton.
Oh, it's nothing at all. You're the one who's kind. Kind, considerate, and the fairest-minded person he's ever met. And that's what Mr. Phillips said about you this morning.
Mr. Phillips?
Our new custodian. He was in here after first period. Offered to help me clean out the lab.
That's Mr. Phillips, all right. But couldn't we talk... talk about him later. I'm kind of hungry, Mr. Boynton.
Oh, of course. I'll get my lunchbox out of the desk and... Well, that's funny. It's gone.
Your lunchbox?
My desk.
Well, come on, Mr. Boynton. We'll go halvies on a glass of milk in the cafeteria.
But where in the world...
I can't discuss it in detail just yet, Mr. Boynton, but I'm worried. I need your advice.
Oh?
Tell me, what should a person do if this person befriended another person, only to find out that that person may not have been worthy of the first person's faith, in view of certain occurrences, which, although the second person can definitely be accused of them, circumstances seem to point the finger of... Well, just tell me this, Mr. Boynton.
What, Miss Brooks?
How did I ever get to be an English teacher?
Table.
Oh, thanks, Walter. The cafeteria is pretty crowded today. Mr. Boynton's just getting me some milk.
This chicken a la king is swell today. You ought to try it.
It does look good. But, Walter, I'm surprised at your table manners. You're eating with your fingers.
Everybody's eating with their fingers today. The silverware's all gone.
What?
Yeah, including a fine set of Easterling knives and forks, donated by the wife of Madison High School's founder, Mrs. Yodar Critch.
Well, she'll never miss them. She's been dead 10 years. But this is awful, Walter. I can't help feeling it's my fault.
Your fault? What did you have to do with it?
I've got to tell somebody, and it might as well be you. Have you noticed the new custodian bustling around school today?
Yeah, come to think of it, I have. He seems like a very industrious chap.
He's industrious, all right. That's why I feel so responsible. Do you know where I met this gentleman?
Where?
In my kitchen icebox at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Wasn't it awfully chilly?
This is no kidding matter, Walter. This Joe Phillips broke into our place this morning, and when Mrs. Davis and I caught him, he said he just wanted a meal. He seemed so sincere, I brought him down to school and got him a job.
Gosh, Miss Brooks, you mean you talked Mr. Conklin into hiring a crook?
At the time, I was convinced he wasn't a crook. But in view of the day's events so far, I am now convinced that in spite of his very convincing approach, I was prematurely convinced. This isn't one of my better days.
Gosh, Miss Brooks, there's no reason for you to be so upset about it. Why don't we just call a cop and have him tossed into the pokey?
Because we haven't any evidence, Walter. Besides, I'd like to get him out of here without Mr. Conklin's knowledge. I'll never hear the end of it if he discovers I've recommended a criminal.
Well, there must be something we can do. Oh, you should have called the police last night when you had him dead to rights. Hey, wait a minute. I've got an idea. You've got to get him back to your house again tonight. Have you got something you could lure him with?
I like to think I have. Oh, but, his most vulnerable spot is his appetite. He'll eat anything, as long as it isn't fried in deep fat. That murders him.
Great. Then all we have to do is drop a casual remark that you're having a big turkey dinner at your place tonight, and that you're leaving the house right afterwards.
Where am I going?
To the show. The Baron of Arizona just came to town.
Is he taking me?
No, that's the name of the movie.
Oh.
Now, you tell Mr. Boynton about our plan and have him at your house tonight at 7:30 or so.
Quiet, Walter. Phillips is coming over here. Now, remember, you know nothing.
Right.
Well, good afternoon, Miss Brooks.
Hello, Mr. Phillips. This is Walter Denton, one of my students.
Well, glad to know you, son. Enjoying your food?
Oh, he's enjoyed every handful. Sit down, won't you?
Thanks. I'm kind of tired. I've had a very busy morning.
Yes, I know.
Of course, I'm not too familiar with the job as yet.
Don't worry about it. I'm sure you'll pick things up as you go along.
Mr. Conklin's expecting big things from me, I guess, and I'm going to do my best not to let him down, but after all, I only have two hands.
If you had more, there'd be no school by now.
Oh, and Miss Brooks, didn't you have to see one of the other teachers about something?
What? Oh, yes, yes, of course. Please excuse me, Mr. Phillips. I've got to see one of the other teachers about something. See you later, Walter.
Bye. Now then, Mr. Phillips, you look to me like a man who likes to eat.
I do my share of it.
Yeah, me too. And if there's one thing I love, it's roast turkey.
Say, now you're talking.
There doesn't seem to be any room at the other table, so I'll have to join you, Denton.
Oh.
Hello there, Philip.
Hello, Mr. Conklin.
Is that all you're having for lunch, Mr. Conklin? A glass of milk and a donut?
It's all I require, Denton. I'm on the diet.
Yes, sir. Harriet told me about your salary check being held up, but if you're that class...
Oh, quiet!
That must be why Miss Brooks didn't have anything in front of her just now. She can't afford to eat.
Don't be silly! She's purposely not having any lunch because her landlady, Mrs. Davis, is roasting them a big turkey for tonight.
A big turkey?
A big turkey?
A big turkey.
Well, it's almost 8 o'clock. If he's coming at all, he should be here any minute.
Are all the lights out in the house, Miss Brooks?
I just sent Walter to put them out in the kitchen and dining room. I also told him to leave the back door unlatched. I'm running out of windows.
Oh, Miss Brooks, come here a minute.
What is it, Walter?
Look, on this kitchen table here, in this roasting pan.
It's a cooked turkey.
A beautiful cooked turkey.
Oh, now, isn't that sweet? Mrs. Davis must have left it for me when she went to her sister's. Put the lid back on, Walter.
Oh, this is great. Now we've got some real bait. Now, remember the plan. When we hear him come in, we wait till he's in the middle of the kitchen. Then Mr. Boynton jumps on him, I throw my belt around him, and you put the lights on, Miss Brooks.
Right. Now turn them off, Walter.
There. Gosh, it's sure dark in here.
Well, The darker the better. If we can get him by surprise...
Shh, shh. Quiet. Somebody's coming. I hear him. I see a flashlight.
I should have told him the door was unlatched.
Oh! There, we've got you.
You might have waited until I finished a drum set.
Mr. Conklin.
Well, I just wanted to talk to you about something, Miss Brooks. There weren't any lights in front, so I thought I'd try the back way.
Through the window?
Well, that was an accident. But once I got the window open, I thought I'd come in and leave a note for you.
And in what handier place than buried in the stuffing of a turkey?
Please, Miss Brooks, let's go into the living room and talk this thing over.
Well, let's all go into the living room. We still expect company, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You don't always snag the right weasel the first time.
Now, that's a switch. Somebody's at the front door. Coming.
Hi, Miss Brooks, it's me.
Mr. Phillips. What do you mean by sneaking in the front way?
I'm not sneaking in. I just came over to explain a few things.
This I've got to hear. Come in.
So there you are.
Good evening, Phillips.
Oh, I'm glad you're here tonight, Mr. Conklin. I missed you at school this afternoon, and I was going to give Miss Brooks a message for you.
What kind of a message, Phillips?
Well, your daughter Harriet was very helpful today, sir. But when I told her to bring the silverware to the shop to be polished, she had it picked up a little too early, before lunch.
Yes, I know. That isn't the only mistake she made. While she was dusting, she put my watch and fountain pen in my desk, and I didn't find them till after school.
But what about the desks and sewing machines and the typewriter that were missing?
Oh, I just took them down to the cellar to repair them. They sure needed a good varnishing.
So does my suspicious mind. Mr. Phillips, I owe you an apology.
And so do I, Phillips.
Me too.
Fortunately, we've got something in the kitchen that'll make us all feel a lot better. Suppose we start carving that nice roast turkey.
Where do you keep your knives, my dear?
What was that?
It came from the kitchen.
Well, come on, let's investigate.
Right behind you.
Well, I should never have told Walter to unlatch that back door.
Why, Miss Brooks, what's happened?
Somebody swiped our turkey.
Valley 103.1.
starring George Burns and Gracie Allen. It's evening in the Burns home. George is in the den working while Gracie is huddled in front of the living room radio, listening to her favorite crime program.
You killed a plumber.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did. Take that.
No!
Open up! It's the police! Come and get me, coppers! Four of you, huh? Take that!
Oh! Oh! Oh!
You're a mad dog. You killed the plumber.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did. Take that.
Oh, I'm stabbed. The laugh is on you. That wine you drank was poison.
Oh.
Well, I guess it can't be exciting every week.
Gracie, would you turn the radio off for a minute? I want you to hear a joke I just wrote for our program. I say to you, good news, Gracie. I won today at Santa Anita. And
oh, that's very cute, George. One of the funniest jokes you ever wrote. Now, let me turn the radio back on.
Wait a minute. That's not the whole joke.
Well, it's all I have time for. I'm listening to my favorite mystery program, The Tall Man.
The Tall Man?
Yeah, it's all about a private detective named Rudy and his wife, Trudy.
Rudy and Trudy.
Oh, such a lovable couple. Every week they go out for a walk and fall over a dead body.
Sound lovable.
Well, I'll turn it back on so you can hear it. Now, Rudy and Trudy are about to solve the case of the punctured plumber. I'm dying to find out who punctured him.
Well, I'm ready to name the murderer, Trudy.
That's Rudy.
Are you really, Rudy?
Yeah, that's Trudy.
Thanks. I'd never figured that out.
It was very simple, Trudy. As you remember, when we fell over the plumber's body, his crooked partner, Joseph Jones, was standing beside him with a smoking revolver in his hand.
Yeah, he's the one. He did it.
Is he the murderer, Rudy?
No, he's innocent.
Shucks.
We then noticed, Trudy, that his jealous ex-wife, Sarah Smith, was kneeling on his chest with a dagger between her teeth.
Mm, she's the one.
She did it.
Is she the murderer, Rudy?
No, she's innocent.
Oh, please.
We also discovered, Trudy, that his insane nephew, Ben Brown, was lurking at his feet with a shotgun and several hand grenades.
Oh, he's the one. He did.
Must be him.
Yes.
Is he the murderer, Rudy?
No, he's innocent.
Oh, darn it.
And who did puncture the plumber, Rudy?
The murderer was Ebenezer McGonagall.
Oh, darling. You're so clever.
Thank you, sweetheart. Well, we'd better get home and get some rest.
Yes. Let's.
Turn it off. Try it.
Well, they fooled me again. I'd never have guessed that Ebenezer McGonagall was the murderer.
Who is Ebenezer McGonagall?
Well, I don't know. That's the first time his name was mentioned.
I thought it was Sam Krovny. So.
Oh, I wouldn't miss The Tall Man for anything.
Yes, it's a great joke. Now, about the joke, I know.
Oh, dear,
I said
I'm
good
tired
news.
Of jokes, George. Why don't we have adventures like The Tall Man and his wife and do them on the air?
Forget it.
Well, you could be the short man.
Gracie.
Or the bow-legged man.
Gracie.
Or the middle-aged spread man.
We're not going to be detectives.
Oh, but they lead such exciting lives. They just walk down the street and stumble over corpses. Come on, George. Let's walk down the street.
Gracie, those things only happen on radio mystery programs.
I don't believe it. Oh, please. Let's go for a walk.
All right. I'll go for a walk.
Good.
But I don't expect to wind up in a mystery. I'm only going because I need some fresh air. Now listen to my joke. I say to you, good news, Gracie. I won today at Santa Anita. And you say, really? What jockey was riding you?
You do need some fresh air, dear.
Yes, we'll take a long walk.
Oh, I'm so excited, George. George. I just know we'll run into something sinister any minute now.
Yes, yes.
Gang of gangsters, or a band of bandits, a hood of hoodlums.
Yes, 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 yes.
George!
Huh? What is it?
Look at that man coming towards us. Look at the way he slinks along. Oh, I know he's a desperate criminal.
Gracie, are you...
He's coming right up to us. We'll capture him red-handed.
Excuse me, I'm the new minister. Could you direct me to the parsonage?
2 blocks down. Come along, Sherlock. Well, you solved the case of the sinister minister.
Oh, all right. I was mistaken about him, but I still say we'll have a terrific adventure.
Oh, sure, something is bound to happen.
I think I smell an opium den.
You smell tobacco. We just passed the cigar store.
Oh, is that where you buy your cigars?
That's right.
Then I don't smell tobacco.
Gracie, would you just forget this idea? Let's not...
George!
Now what?
Oh, I knew it. Look, there's a dead man lying on the sidewalk. He's been shot.
By golly, it is a man. Let's see what's wrong with him.
So is that alive?
Some dead man. And you thought he was shot.
Well, he's half shot.
Come along, Philo Vance.
Well, I'm not discouraged, George. I'm positive we'll discover a crime.
Yes.
We'll capture a bank robber or a murderer or a... Did you hear that woman scream?
Yes. It came from that parked car.
Oh, quick, open the door.
Yes? What do you want?
It's Bill Goodwin.
Oh, hello, Burnses. Meet my girl, Frances.
Bill, was that your girl who gave that terrible agonized scream?
Oh, yeah. I told her she couldn't see me again till tomorrow. They all scream when I tell them that.
Oh, brother.
Hey, what are you two doing out roaming the streets this time of night?
Well, I've been looking for a corpse.
Looks like you found one.
Let's go, Gracie. So long, funny man.
So long, boogeyman.
You know, I can't understand why we haven't found any crime. By now, the tall man program would have had 2 murders and 3 commercials.
Let's go home,
no,
huh?
No, not yet. Gee, it's dark along here.
Yeah, it is kind of dark.
Perfect spot for a murder.
Yeah, nice little spot.
George! Look at that figure coming toward us through the shadows. It looks like an ape. Oh, I'm scared.
Well,
Oh, George, he's coming closer. Oh, I can hear his footsteps.
Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. Bird.
You, Mr. Postman. We thought we saw an ape.
No, my wife's not with me. I went to the movie alone tonight.
Would you like to go walking with us, Mr. Postman? We're out looking for crime and adventure.
Oh, no, thanks. I had my fill of it in the movie. Humphrey Bogart shot people like crazy. Bang, bang, crunch. Bang, 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 crunch.
Crunch?
The fella next to me was eating popcorn.
I wish I could chase criminals like Humphrey Bogart does. They try to run away from him, but he always shoots them in the end.
Yeah. He's wonderful. Well, I'd better be limping home. I drove my old wreck of a car to the movie, but when I wanted to drive it home, it was missing.
Well, that's a tough break, Mr. Postman.
Yes, now I'll be late getting home and Bertha will scold.
Yes, well, she'll be angry.
You speak up to her.
I always speak up to her. She stands 6'3". Well, good night, Mr. and Mrs. Burns. Remember, keep smiling.
Gracie, Gracie, what do you say we go home?
Mm-mm. Not until I find a crime to solve. Oh, there must be some. I've got it. The postman said his old wreck of a car was missing. I'll catch the crook who stole it. Oh, Mr. Postman.
Yes, Mrs. Burns.
Could you give me a description of that old wreck of yours?
Yes, as I told you, she stands 6 feet three.
No, not your wife. Your car, the one that's missing.
Oh, it's a blue 1928 Essex with white wall fenders.
Don't you mean white wall tires?
No, our garage has white walls, and when my wife drives...
Say no more, I know what you mean.
Well, goodbye again. See you tomorrow.
George, there's our crime. We'll solve the case of the missing 1928 Essex. Too bad it wasn't a new Studebaker.
What?
Well, if it was a... No. Now, let people point at us. Let them say we're freaks. We haven't done a Studebaker joke, and we're not going to do it now.
There you go.
Well, last night, the postman told Gracie his 1928 Essex was missing. Gracie, inspired by her favorite crime program, The Tall Man, was up at dawn this morning to solve the crime.
Well, I'm back, George. I've been to the scene of the crime, and I found out who stole the postman's car.
Who?
The James Gang.
The James Gang?
Yeah.
They've been gone for 75 years.
Oh, well, maybe they're laying low till the heat's off.
Forget it. The postman's car was not stolen by Jesse and Frank James.
Who's talking about Jesse and Frank James? I'm talking about the new James Gang, Harry and Betty.
Harry James and Betty Grable?
Mm-hmm. If that surprises you, wait till I tell you who's in their gang. Clark Abel, Norma Shearer, Wallace Beery, and Shirley Temple.
They stole the postman's 1928 Essex.
I've got them dead to rights. They left footprints at the scene of the crime.
Footprints?
Yeah. In their haste, they stepped in some wet cement.
Where was the postman's car parked?
Outside the movie theater.
Then you found those footprints in the cement in front of Grumman Chinese. Those people are movie stars. They put their...
Sure, they're movie stars. That's all part of their car-stealing racket.
Huh?
First they make a movie, then that lures people into the theater.
Yeah.
And while the people are in the theater, boom, they steal their car.
Gracie.
What a sweet little racket. When I give this story to the police, somebody's going to get put away.
I think the audience guessed it. That's you they're going to put away.
Me?
Yes. Gracie, those footprints have been in front of Gorman's Chinese for years. Now give up and let the police handle it.
Would the tall man and his wife give up? No. They'd go down to the underworld and start looking for Bench Robbins.
Bench Robbins?
Yeah. Chair sparrows?
Do you mean stool pigeons?
Yeah. Well, come on, let's go.
I'm not going to the underworld.
Oh, that's what the tall man and his wife would do. Either that or some weird and unbelievable character would walk in their door.
That won't happen either. Good morning, all. I take it back. Hello, Meredith.
Meredith, would you like to help me solve a crime?
Indeed I would, Gracie. I've always had a flair for detective work. As a mere lad back in Mason City, Iowa, I... solved the most astounding and baffling mystery.
Oh, what was it?
Squash came up in our turnip patch.
And you found out why?
Yes, by dint of shrewd questioning, I learned that squash had been planted there.
They should have made you chief of police.
Well, all right, Meredith. You are now my assistant. Together, we'll find out who stole the postman's 1928 Essex.
Look, Gracie, I gotta go to the office. Now, play detective if you must. But promise me you'll stay away from the underworld.
Yeah, I promise, Dad.
Good. See you later.
Well, Meredith, as soon as he's out of sight, you'll start for the underworld.
But you gave George a promise.
Yeah, I know, but I'm going to break it because I love him.
Because you love him?
Well, yeah, if I ever kept a promise, he'd drop dead. Let's go, Meredith. Well, Meredith, we're in the toughest saloon in the underworld. Are you ready to start, detecting?
Ready, Chief.
Now, our job is to locate a stolen 1928 Essex. So we'll pretend to be a pair of crooks from out of town. Hey, you, bartender, give us a couple of lowballs.
Yeah.
You mean highballs.
I mean lowballs. We only got time for a short drink. Get a move on and stop flapping your trap.
You're pretty tough, ain't you, baby?
Yeah.
You bet I'm tough. Ever hear of Alcatraz?
Sure.
I'm a sister, Gracie Catraz.
Yeah. And I'm her ma.
I never seen you before.
I've been in stir. The cops caught me and put me in Sing Sing.
Sing Sing is a prison for men.
Yeah, were they embarrassed?
Yeah, I'll bet they were.
Yeah.
Me and Mamal's out here to pull off a big job, and we need a getaway car.
A getaway car,
yeah.
Huh? What kind you want?
A 1928 Essex.
Yeah.
Come on. Know anybody who's stolen a 1928 Essex?
Sure.
Where is he?
In Glendale.
He lives there?
No, he stole the Essex last year, started for New York, and that's as far as he's got.
Oh, a wise guy, huh?
Go on, beat it. You're a couple of phonies.
Yeah.
Nobody talks like that to Gracie Catraz. Take him for a ride, Meredith.
Come along, sir. Griffith Park is lovely this time of year.
Oh, get out of here.
Well, George, we didn't find the postman's car. If you stole a 1928 Essex, where would you go?
To a psychiatrist.
Well, why don't you help me detect George?
No. Leave crime to the mystery program. Come in.
Hi, Burns.
Hello, Bill.
What's new?
Well, Gracie wants to be a detective like the tall man.
Yeah, Bill. But, of course, I can't call George the tall man. I'll change tall to broad.
What'll you change man to?
Look, comedian, why don't you revive vaudeville?
Impossible, George. When you kill something, it's dead.
Now, Bill, don't tease George. I'm serious about this detective work. The postman's car was stolen, and I'm on the trail of the crook.
Really, Gracie?
Yeah.
You know, I used to do a little amateur detecting. Maybe I can help you.
Wonderful.
Now, first, you've got to be able to identify the criminal type.
Uh-huh.
Now, the man who stole the postman's car will have a low, receding forehead.
Yes.
Shifty, close-set eyes.
Yeah.
A weak chin. Large, protruding ears.
Yeah. George Burns, did you take that car?
Gracie.
Come on, confess.
Now, look.
Give him the third degree, Gracie. Beat him with your hose.
What? I ruined my good nylon?
Okay, kiddies, break this up.
Hey, what kind of a car was it, Gracie?
A blue 1928 Essex.
What? A blue 1928 Essex?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I saw that car just this morning.
Oh, where, Bill?
Sitting on a used car lot.
Well, come on, let's grab it. Which lot? Madman Munch?
No, besides, haven't you heard Munch isn't mad anymore?
Why?
Now, wait, let me think. I was on my way to get breakfast when I saw the Essex.
Was it okay?
Delicious. That drop.
Oh, Bill, please try to remember the used car lot where you saw the Essex. If George and I solve this case, it means a new career. It means George can give up telling jokes and singing.
That did it. It was the frowning Frenchman.
Oh, thanks, Bill. I'll go right over.
Wait a minute. I better go along to keep you out of trouble. Well, this is the place, Gracie. The frowning Frenchman's used car lot.
Yeah. And there's the postman's ethics.
Ah, good day, good people. Interested in buying a car, I presume?
Oh, yes, yes. I want a car that would be suitable for my husband here.
How about a sports model?
Look at him.
My mistake.
We'll take that 1928 Essex.
Just the car for him. And it's a steal.
Yeah, we know that.
Only $2,000.
$2,000?
Well, of course, that's without the extras.
Oh, what are the extras?
The wheels, the body, and the motor.
I suppose they would come in handy. May we drive the car around the block to see how we like it?
Oh, yes. Here's the key. I'll go into my office and figure up the total cost.
Yeah, quick, George. While he's in the office, we'll grab the car.
Okay.
Start the motor.
Darn it, nothing happens.
Oh, we've got to escape before he comes back. Get out and push.
Push? But it's 14 blocks to our house.
Well, it's the only way, George. So roll up your sleeves. I'll help you.
You'll help me push?
No, I'll help you roll up your sleeves.
Okay. You steer. I'm ready to fold up. How far have we gone now?
6 blocks.
It's funny. We're going downhill and the car is harder to push than when we started.
Well, I didn't want to leave you behind, so I put the brakes on.
Gracie.
Keep pushing, dear.
Oh, no fooling. I can't take much more of this. How soon do we get to our house?
Oh, we've already passed it.
Passed it?
Well, yes, as long as we were out, I thought I'd go by the market and shop for dinner.
Gracie.
Keep pushing, dear.
Well, home at last. I wouldn't do that again for $1,000,000.
Oh, I'm proud of you, George. By pushing that car, you foiled a dangerous criminal. You're a real gangbuster.
I don't think a gang is all I busted.
Well, it's all over. We've solved the case of the postman's missing Essex. I telephoned him as soon as we got here and told him to come right over.
Will he be surprised when he sees the car in our garage?
He certainly will.
Yeah.
Come in.
Hello, Mrs. Burns.
My goodness, I just called you 5 minutes ago. How did you get here so fast?
I drove over in my car.
You've got a new car?
No, the same old Essex. See, there it is in front of the house.
But last night you told us it was missing.
It was, but a mechanic cleaned the spark plugs and now it runs fine.
You mean to say that your car wasn't stolen?
Oh, no.
Then the Essex in our garage really belonged to the used car man. I'll probably wind up in jail.
Oh, no, you won't. Wrong, wasn't I?
All right, don't nobody move. Which one of you has drove the Essex up in front of this house?
I did, officer.
Come along to jail, you car thief.
But, officer, you don't know...
I said come along.
Goodbye, Mr. Postman. Remember, keep smiling.
Did you know that Santa Claus has a face with the nicest grin? He's a jolly old man in the bright red suit and the whiskers on his chin. He brings toys for girls and boys who've been good as they should have been. He's a jolly old man in the bright red suit and the whiskers on his chin. He keeps a page on everyone. He knows who's misbehaved. But for those who are good the whole year round, you should see the gifts he saved. So if you want a pretty doll or a top that will hop and spin, or if you want a sewing set or a wagon to ride in, make sure you're good as you can be and these lovely things you win. From the jolly old man in the bright red suit and the whiskers on his chin.
The jolly old man in the bright red suit and the whiskers on his chin.
Page on everyone he knows.
those who's misbehaved. But for those who were good the whole year round, you should see the gifts he's saved. So if you want a pretty doll or a top that will hop and spin, or if you want a sewing set or a wagon to ride in, make sure you're good as you can be and these lovely things you win. From the jolly old man in the bright red suit and the whiskers on his chin. The jolly old man in the bright red suit and the whiskers on his chin.
Now it's time for our trivia question. The first person that can write to me at bruce@radiomasterpieces.com and tell me who this famous voice was will get a $50 gift certificate to a wonderful restaurant. Good luck, everybody.
Of course, I am delighted, but not surprised, by the final repeal of the 18th Amendment. I felt all along that when this matter was properly submitted to the rank and file of our people, they would readily see that it had no place in our Constitution. It would be very difficult, if not impossible, to estimate the benefit that will come to this country from the lesson taught to the coming generations, to make it their business to see that no such matter as this is ever again made the subject of federal constitutional law.
The first person that can write to me at bruce@radiomasterpieces.com and tell me who this famous voice was will get a $50 gift certificate to a wonderful restaurant. Good luck, everybody.
I have flown. I have sailed. I have moved about this world of ours. And ever in search of the finest of its kind, we bring you the tops in Spine Chillers.
And you are listening to Radio Masterpieces on Valley 103.1, serving Duval, Carnation, and Redmond Ridge. The door is slowly closing for Radio Masterpieces, but be sure and tune in again next week from 9 to 10 p.m. to listen to more wonderful mysteries from the 1940s and 50s. This is Bruce Kaplan signing off. Radio Masterpieces is a Seattle Miracle Incorporated production.